Hey, we have a winner in the trivia question for the couple of tickets for Purdue, Wisconsin. Leading rusher was Edwin Watson. Leading receiver, John Blackman.
Do we have numbers?
Blackman went for 109. Watson went for 82 and three scores.
Whoa.
So Mike has got a couple of ducats for the contest on Saturday. Our next guest does not need tickets. He'll be there. Ready to go. Jason Galloway covers Wisconsin football for the Wisconsin State Journal on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Jason, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great, man. Thanks for joining us. I'm curious just the overall feeling around this football program. And you think about the last 4 years with, you know, the double-digit wins and Big Ten West champs and all that stuff, and now the Badgers knowing that those things aren't in the cards right now. What's morale like around that team?
Yeah, it's sort of a weird feeling, I guess. You know, there are such high expectations for the team, not just externally. I think internally they thought they could do some pretty special things too. They weren't really shy about talking about their goal to make the playoffs and things like that. So to be here with two games remaining and to not even be in contention for the Big Ten West title, it's really kind of shell-shocking, honestly. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds and comes out in a game like this against Purdue, where there's not a whole lot to play for. It's not a situation we've seen this team in much. You know, I went back and looked, and since the Big Ten title game was created in 2011, there's only been two regular season games in which Wisconsin was, you know, going into the game eliminated from making it to the Big Ten title game. So it's a spot they haven't been in a lot lately, and it's going to be interesting to see if they come out motivated and can still find that urgency, even though there's not a whole lot left to play for.
Jason, what do you point to, or what does the team point to as the reasons why this team just has the six wins? What were some of the breakdowns so far?
Yeah, I mean, you can point to a lot of issues. I think people really thought the offense would take a huge step this year. They were returning 10 starters, and it just hasn't really happened for them. I mean, they lost their top receiver in Quintez Cephas right before the year. You know, he's gone, and, you know, it just hasn't really worked. I mean, the quarterback position has been really inconsistent. I think you kind of hope that Alex Hornibrook would kind of take a step forward, and he was just not playing very well before he got injured, and now they've had to go with backup Jack Cohn for a big portion of the last three games with Hornibrook dealing with concussion issues. The passing game just hasn't been there, and you know, Jonathan Taylor is still, you know, possibly the best running back in the country, but they just haven't had the passing game to complement it, and they haven't been able to really have that downfield threat that takes a lot of pressure off Taylor either. And you know, the defense, I think, took a bigger step down than people anticipated. I think we kind of thought that it would be worse than the last few years, obviously, replacing seven starters on that side of the ball, but particularly on the defensive line, where they've also had some injury issues. They've had to start a lot of freshmen up there throughout this season, and they just haven't been able to stop the run as well as nearly as well as they have the last few years. I think they're somewhere around in the 70s among FBS teams in rushing defense, and this is a team that was one of the best in the country in that the last couple of years. And you know, when teams have been able to run on them, they've got in a lot of favorable third down situations, and it's kind of hurt their pass rush as well. And they've had a lot of other injuries in the secondary. And it's just been one of the seasons you kind of have to look at and throw away at this point, and hope that it was a sort of a 1 year thing, and they can catch a little bit more breaks next year.
Jason Galloway covers Wisconsin football for the Wisconsin State Journal on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline.
Yeah, Jason, what is Hornibrook's prognosis? I mean, is he playing this weekend? I guess if they've said something, I guess I'm not savvy to or. Privy to it. So what's his situation?
He's still listed as questionable. They had an updated injury report come out today, but he was still listed as questionable. And he participated in practice as early as Tuesday this week. So we'll have to kind of see. I mean, that's at least a good sign. Now, they didn't really tell us exactly how much he did in practice, but he was in pads on Tuesday. He was throwing after practice again today. He is still in the concussion protocol, according to Paul Chryst. As of this morning. So we're not going to get any word from them until Saturday right before the game, whether he goes or not. But it'll be interesting to see if he travels with the team and if he gets cleared by Saturday. But it's at this point, it's really hard to tell. It's It's really a kind of a wait and see, but I think he has a lot better chance than last week, considering that he has practiced throughout the week.
Yeah, Jason, I'm looking here. You talked about their rush defense, and Purdue's rush defense is actually better than Wisconsin. Purdue's giving up 1,448 rushing yards this season, an average of 144 a game, while Wisconsin is ranked eighth in the Big Ten with 161.8 rushing yards per game. What is kind of, is it, as far as their defense goes, you talked about that defensive line. How is their secondary as far as the passing game? Because I know I've watched some games where they have started some young guys, some true freshmen back there. So as far as their pass defense, obviously Purdue's a big pass-happy team. How do they stack up against our passing game?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because they have had a lot of young guys back there in the secondary who have really started to play really well of late. You know, they started the season really poor in the secondary. Again, a lot of new starters back there, a lot of freshmen. Kind of a low point was giving up more than 400 passing yards in Nebraska back in, I guess it was the middle of October. And really since that game, they've been a lot better. They've held four of their last five opponents under 170 yards passing, including at Penn State last week. And they, a lot of those young guys are stepping up and really their own. So it's going to be a real test to see them against this Purdue offense and this Purdue passing attack. They haven't been really tested, you know, deep downfield in some of those recent weeks where they've played better. So I think it's going to be a really interesting test and measuring stick to see how far some of these young corners have come, especially against this Purdue team. So I'm really curious to see them in this matchup, and that could be a big key in the game.
Jason Galloway, Wisconsin State Journal, with us on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And Jason, I know Purdue fans have just that continuous nightmare of watching a Wisconsin running back run the ball up and down the field. This time it's Jonathan Taylor, who's been tremendous again this year. Just describe him as a running back and just kind of how he's starting to evolve, to be up there with all those names of those greats that Wisconsin's had at running back that continue to just, you know, beat up on Purdue's defense.
Yeah, he's a guy that no one really saw coming last year as a true freshman, was really fifth on the depth chart for the first half of fall camp and didn't even start the first game and ends up with almost 2,000 yards. And he's a guy that just came in and was already a really mature runner, a really patient guy that had really good vision. And, you know, he's really, I think one of his best attributes is his balance. He can take a hit and keep his feet under him and not really lose any speed. And he's got the top end speed too, to once he gets past the second level to beat guys to the end zone. So he's pretty much the complete package as a runner. Obviously, he's still working on his ball security. That's been a really big issue for him, holding onto the football. And then he doesn't really play on third down and in passing situations, which is a big thing. You know, he doesn't have good hands. He still needs to get better as a pass protector. And so they go with Garrett Groshek in those situations. So he's not really an every down back right now, but I think as a runner, outside of the ball security, he is everything you want. And I think he's playing even better this year than he did last year. Like I said, the passing game has been worse than last year, and it's been I think he got a little bit more pressure taken off him last year because they could occasionally hit the deep ball and kind of keep the defense a little more honest. And this year, he's averaging even more yards per game than he did a season ago, and he's on pace for over 2,000 right now. So I think he's just been really fantastic this year, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of if he can keep that up and hit that 2,000 mark, because he's been really, one of the few bright spots of this offense so far.
We talked about Alex Hornibrook earlier. Now, if he's healthy and he's playing, what has been his biggest downfall this season, and why has he not progressed the way that I think a quarterback in his position should? What's the biggest thing that you think, you know, is stopping him from being successful?
Well, I think one of the big things is sort of the turnovers in big spots. It's something he kind of did last year too. He'll have an occasional really great game, but then he'll have other games where he just makes a couple really, really bad decisions in big moments. And you know, the BYU game this year, he threw a bad interception in the third quarter that kind of allowed BYU to take the lead there in that upset. He just needs to cut down on the turnovers. And he hasn't been quite as accurate as maybe he was last year, I don't feel like, as far as on a consistent basis. I feel like the Iowa game, their conference opener against Iowa this year, he was really he was really great in that game, definitely his best performance of the year, and it kind of led into a second half comeback. But since then, he's just been a little off for whatever reason, one way or another. He's just hasn't quite had the same level of accuracy that maybe we saw from him last year. So, and again, the last few weeks he's been injured, so it's going to be interesting to see when he comes back if, you know, maybe the time off has given him any kind of allowed him to regroup at all. But I think that was kind of one of the things heading into the season was, you know, if Hornibrook does take the next step, then this offense can be really special, and it just didn't really happen for him.
Jason, thanks so much for joining us and all the information. Safe travels down to West Lafayette, and we'll see you on Saturday.
All right, thanks.
Jason Galloway covers Wisconsin football for the Wisconsin State Journal. When we come back, our high fives and matchups. We'll also update you on the Purdue basketball game against Appalachian State. All that more when we come back on the Hammerdown Show. 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com.
At Kelly Engineering, we have been serving farmers since 1972. As your local dealer for Ag Leader, Henniker, True Ag, and more, we offer industry-leading technologies from steering to planting to harvest and everything in between. Whether you want a customized starter system, a field-ready toolbar, or help with your data, Kelly Engineering in Brookston has the experience to help you achieve your goals. Visit us online today at kellyeng.com and bring purpose to your precision ag.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know agriculture. Our clients are always planning for tomorrow, watching the markets, and weighing every decision. We know it isn't easy, and we know you wouldn't want to do anything else. We're here to help. Our lenders will help you build financial solutions like crop operating and inventory loans, livestock lending, and long-term real estate financing. Ready to get to work? Visit us online at ffbt.com.